Our scripture reading today, our first reading, is from Psalm. It's the 23rd Psalm. We all know that one probably by heart. It's one I learned in grade school, probably. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk the darkest valleys, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Our second reading is from John, chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used the figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come, and they have my life and have it to the full." These are God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. Now I'd like to introduce our guest pastor today. Those of you who were here last week have already met today's guest pastor, Patty Ford. She came back. We are happy she is again here this week and very grateful that she answers the call when churches need someone to fill in as pastor. Please join me in welcoming Reverend Patty Ford.
Thank you very much. You know, I had a pastor once that said, I made a comment about being a reverend versus a pastor, and he said, you have to earn it to be a reverend. So I am just Pastor Patty. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come as fire and burn, come as wind and cleanse. Come as light and reveal. Convict, convert, and consecrate us till we are wholly thine, serving thee with joy and gladness all the days of our lives. Amen. Our sermon today is entitled, A Shepherd, A Gate, A Lamb. You know, to the people that heard him, Jesus seemed to speak a lot in riddles, and many of the people did not understand those. So even those that were metaphor challenged, we might say, we don't have to be. We can figure out what his message is. And his message is a message of grace and love and abundant life. And that's what Jesus wants us to grasp onto. You know, Jesus lived in a very agricultural society. Most of the people at that time, and even today over in Israel, live off the land. They have crops, they have orchards, they have sheep, goats, chickens. In Judea, where Jesus did some of his teaching and preaching, if you've ever been there, it's not a place where you could grow any crops. It is very rocky, very hilly. And so in this particular area over there, they did a lot of sheep herding. They were nomadic as far as moving. The shepherds took great care of the sheep. We hear of sheep from the beginning as we think about the birth of Jesus Christ and the shepherd seeing the star in the east. George Adam Smith, of a 19th century biblical scholar, tells of traveling in the Holy Land. Chuck and I also had this experience, and it was wonderful. But he said he ran across a shepherd, and he spoke to this shepherd, and they fell into conversation, and Smith asked him, "This is where the sheep go at night?" "Yes," said the shepherd. "And when they are in there, they are perfectly safe." "Well, it's got four walls, but there's no door," he said. And the shepherd said, "I am the door." He was not a Christian man, that shepherd, and he wasn't speaking the language of the New Testament. He was speaking of the Arab shepherd's viewpoint. Smith looked at him and said, "What do you mean you are the door?" He said, "Well, when the lights are gone and all the sheep are inside, I lie across that open space. And no sheep ever goes out because they'd have to walk over me. And no wolf would come in because he would have to cross my body. I am the gate." You know, if you remember back in old English classes, the teacher would talk about metaphors. Well, when we talk about metaphors, they can be very rich and deep. And we really find this in the New Testament with the teachings of Jesus. He took maybe what we or some may say were complicated theologian type of themes, and he brought those themes and he talked to the people and things they knew. The agriculture, the farming, the sheep herding. And if you think of the teachings of Jesus, so many of them included sheep or goats or figs, the crop, the land. You know, I suppose if we were talking in the 21st century and we wanted to skip to something that, you know, if I was where I was in Logan, I used farm terms because we have a lot of farmers up there. But farm terms may not set in this setting. But something that would probably set would be high-tech stuff. So maybe that shepherd wouldn't say, "I'm the gate," but he'd say, "I'm the portal. I'm the home page. I'm the universal remote control." Jesus would speak in the terms that we would understand. Jesus said that he's both a good shepherd and he is the gate for the sheep. Jesus' listeners would have understood that image because of knowing about the gatekeeper for sheep. That gatekeeper protected those sheep, just as Jesus protects us. Some say that we would maybe consider this confusing language. And the Gospel of John can be kind of confusing at times. It's very different than Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They are called the synoptic Gospels, which means that they're seen with the same eyes. They saw the stories kind of the same. They just did their version. It's like if there was an accident out here on 27th. And three of us watched it, we would all interpret it a little different. And that's kind of what Matthew, Mark, and Luke did. They contain quotes from each other. But today's gospel is from the Gospel of John. And that's important to know because John talks a lot about historical and cultural backgrounds. You know, he talks about the land, the history of Israel. And as I read John in a different way after we got home from Israel, I realized this even more. I knew his gospel was different, but I couldn't figure out why. Whatever folks think about sheep, my grandpa bought and sold sheep, and I always thought they were the dumbest animals on earth. But everyone will agree that Jesus was the good shepherd. So no matter what we think of sheep, who was he comparing the sheep to? You and I. We are his sheep. He is our great shepherd. The ancient Israelites compared the ideal king to a shepherd because King David was what? A shepherd boy. And he had skills that he learned as a shepherd boy. Remember the slingshot? Yeah, they would use those to scare off the wolves. But it came in very handy for him when he was fighting the giants. As was read in Psalms 23 this morning, where one sings praises to our Lord for leading us to green pastures. Beside the still water. And even guiding us to the valley and the shadows of death. The imagery of nature. It's a little windy outside, but I think it's going to be a beautiful spring day. And Psalms 23, which some people say, ooh, they only read that at funerals. Not true. It has beautiful imagery of what God provided for us. When one is led by a good shepherd, one fears no evil. That's why this morning Jesus tells us that the sheep may run off if someone else talks to them. They're not so dumb. If they don't recognize that shepherd's voice, they won't come. They follow the voice of the good shepherd. We follow the voice of who? God. As we learn in other gospel passages, a good shepherd sets out at a risk because he's the one that seeks that one lost sheep. He has 99 there, but one is lost. Have you ever been that one that was lost? And God came to seek you. The good shepherd is willing to lay down his life or her life for the sheep. And that's what God does for us. You know, in Jesus' metaphorical use of sheep imagery, it is acknowledged that shepherds had two dangers. And it talks about the thieves who might steal the sheep and also the wild animals that might kill the sheep. Jesus is also saying, do not let such thieves into your spiritual life. Don't let those bad things into your spiritual life. Jesus is the good shepherd. And it says in the very end of John, so that we may have life and have it abundantly. In other words, Jesus is acknowledging that we live in a sinful world, a dangerous world. But he wants us to listen and know that he is there to show all of us, not just the five in the front row or those at Broadway Christian Church, but all of us, our friends, our neighbors, if they only believe. Even though John contains some versions of stories also found in the other Gospels, the Gospel of John was written probably close to 100 years later, probably well after the Roman destroyed Jerusalem temple in 76. John also tended to be more interpretive, straightforward in his account of Jesus. We see that in the start of John's gospel where he said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And so in today's scripture, when Jesus is talking about some of the Pharisees who have been challenging him in various ways, we find him using an interpretive language to try to have listeners open their minds and open their hearts so we get a sense of what God is doing every single day. Many times in our world today, the Pharisees have gotten a bad reputation. They talk about them being hypocritical for meaningless rules. But we have to remember the Pharisees were the ones that were committed religious people of that day. They were the ones that attended worship every week. They were the ones studying the scriptures. They were the ones that took religion seriously. But they had some of the problems because they were living in the Jewish world and orders and laws. And Jesus brought more than just that. But remember, he was taught in the temple. He was Jewish himself. So today's scripture, Jesus said he has come so that the people may have life. He wants us to know that he said when he started his ministry that the kingdom of God is at hand. And you know, we can live in that kingdom today. We can get a foretaste today of what God's reign will be like when it comes. That's the privilege we have. And our freedom of religion today. But how can this happen? You know, Mom always said, actions speak louder than words. By acting with love, by acting with justice, with mercy, and acting with compassion. Although the message today has to do with eternal matters, it focuses over and over on how we live today, how we live tonight, how we live tomorrow. I think Jesus is telling people not to be so focused on heaven, but while we're on here on earth, to be focused on what we can do to make his earthly kingdom more wonderful, more beautiful. You know, we're somewhat like sheep. Left alone, we wander just like sheep. And some of us even lose ourselves. Like sheep, we may begin the day thinking that it's going to be a good one. the beauty and wonder of children and grandchildren, the motivation of good books and art, or the awesomeness of nature. Today will be a good day, we say. But then the phone rings, or the TV announces breaking news. And soon we lose sight of the gift that God has given us. You know, in the Jewish prayer book, it says we walk by sight, less among miracles. We walk by sight, but we live in a world where there's so many distractions. Maybe we are like the people Jesus was talking to. It said, Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they didn't understand what he was saying. I know myself. I've read things in the Bible and not understand them. And I have to really work and dig and do some research to understand what it's all about. But let's not miss what Jesus is saying. He says, pay attention to my words and my life. Follow me. Be my disciple. I will show you how to live, how to flourish, how to have abundant life that brings the goodness of life to others. I will be your shepherd. Learn my voice so that you don't get distracted by other voices. The voice that will mislead you can cause you to live somewhere other than in the kingdom of God. As members of one body, of one flock, let us not only celebrate the Good Shepherd, who we admire, respect, and adore. Let us recognize each other as members of the same flock and praise God for the protection and the love that we have. This morning's verse 10 said, again I read, I came so they can have life indeed, so they could live life to the fullest. You know, many of you probably remember Forrest Gump. Forrest Gump said, life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. F. Scott Peck began his best-selling book, The Road Less Traveled, by saying, life is difficult. I remember one time when Chuck and I were younger and we were getting a high-pressure salesman. And his final effort for us to sign on the dotted line, and this was to buy cemetery lots. Life is not a dress rehearsal. You only get to live it once. The truth is that life is not found in possessions or in pleasures. It is found in the person of Jesus Christ. When we walk with Jesus, there comes a new vitality, a superabundance of life. It is only then that life becomes really worth living. This morning, I invite you, my friends, to listen to this life-giving Jesus. He really does know what's best for us. Take time to breathe in. Breathe in the Holy Spirit. Allow the Holy Spirit to fill your body, your heart, your mind, so that as sheep, the Good Shepherd can lead us, and we can all have abundant life. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.